We have church bodies that are growing, some at 12, 15% a year. So someone goes and visits their cousin in a nearby village, and their cousin's a member of the Lutheran church. They go to church with them. They come home and say, well, there's no Lutheran church here. We'll start one. And they start it in their living room. And when it's too big for the living room, they meet under the tree. And when the rains come, they put up a tin roof. And then they reach out to the church body and they say, we need a pastor. And the church body says, okay, we didn't even know you were there. But they're just popping up. So most of your pastors in Africa are overseeing between 5 and 15 congregations.
You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are at the LCMS convention in Phoenix, Arizona. It feels like we've been here for like 2 months.
I think
that's because we're sharing stories. We've recorded stories for like 2 months worth of episodes.
So much content.
But this is just delightful because we get to meet people from all over the world. And in a moment, we'll get to talk with the regional director for Africa for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Nebraska. You can learn more about Concordia University, Nebraska at cune.edu.
Joining us today, the Reverend Shawin Trump. He's Regional Director for Africa for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Office of International Mission. Pastor Trump, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me here.
We are delighted to get to visit with so many people here at the convention. How has it been for you with the opportunity to meet with pastors, fellow pastors and directors, as well as bishops and presidents from around the world?
It's so convenient, if I can just put it that way.
In one place.
You see all the people that you needed to see for the last several months, and there they are, one right after another. So it really is a pleasure. The fellowship, the joy of worship, and then hearing our amazing assembly deliberate the various resolutions and adopt resolutions that move the church forward. There was even a resolution that seems mundane about the managed entities of the synod and adopting new bylaw language to allow managed entities. But this has a huge impact on the mission because right now we don't have a system for a managed entity overseas that mission can take place through that's not encumbered by all of the regulatory matters of the synod. And this little thing that doesn't seem like it's going to make much of an impact makes a huge impact on us. It enables us to move so much quicker in mission, to constitute entities, to change officers of those entities when needed to. So even things like that, I mean, no one really gets excited about bylaws, right? But when you know what the background is and what the impact will be,
sure,
you get excited about the future, what we're working towards.
Absolutely, yeah. Tell us about the Africa region. It's a large region. Tell us about what kind of what it encompasses. What the Africa region encompasses?
Sure. We work across the whole continent of Africa, which you can fit about three of the United States into Africa. So this is a large area. And we work in 25 countries, which is just about half the countries on the continent, primarily in sub-Saharan Africa. So from the Sahara, starting to a few countries that are still touching the Sahara, and then south, we're working in 25 countries. And in those countries, we have some 35 partners, church bodies that we're engaged with. They may be large, they may be small, and in often many cases, several even in one country. And so we're working all over the place.
What does that mean to be working with various church bodies on the continent of Africa? Yeah. Tell us a little bit about these church bodies that you're able to interact with and serve alongside.
Yeah. So everywhere that we're working in Africa right now, there's an existing Lutheran church, a confessional Lutheran church, that has reached out to us, recognizing the strengths of our synod, and said, we would like to work with you. So most of the time, we're working kind of in a responsive way to requests that we're receiving from church bodies. Goes from the churches that we planted in West Africa 80 years ago, all the way to new churches that have sprung up somewhere and are looking for a partner and find a same kind of resonance with the LCMS. And so they reach out to us asking for work. Mm-hmm. We work with churches that are small, churches that are just 15 or 20 years old and have 25 or 30 congregations. We work with churches that are huge. The Malagasy Lutheran Church has 5 or 6 million members. And we work with that church body as a whole. The church in Tanzania, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Tanzania, also has about 5 or 6 million members. And we're working with select dioceses of that church have received requests and interest and inquiry by about half of the church body. So we work with small, with large, with young, with old. The Malagasy Lutheran Church is just about as old as the LCMS, and so unique, but so similar. They use a very similar liturgy. Worship is in the Malagasy language, but when you sit there in a congregation with 1,000 people around you, all working through the liturgy, and you know right where you are, right? They have choir lofts in the back of the church. They have hymn boards up on the front. You would feel so at home, except the language is completely different, and the churches are absolutely huge, and they run 3 services on a Sunday morning because it's not big enough to hold those who want to assemble to worship.
That is so cool.
It is pretty cool.
Wow. Why is it important to work with these church bodies when you're coming into the mission field, when you're on the ground doing ministry, doing mercy work? Why is it important to be making those connections with these church bodies that you're talking about?
Yeah, well, we firmly believe in our theology that we work with the leaders the Lord has appointed in a place, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're always working underneath a church because there are churches where we're working. Mm-hmm. When we're doing things like mercy work, of course, we're deeply committed to connecting that to word and sacrament ministry, to providing both a temporal impact mm-hmm. and an eternal impact. So if there's already a church body in a place, that's where we're going to connect people. That's who we're going to work through. We do have places where the church is asking us to start churches, where there are no churches, or mm-hmm. there's only one in an area. And so that becomes kind of a mission area of ours, but we're still working underneath the local church body, which makes things a lot easier for us, mm-hmm. of course, with such a space and with so many pastors and bishops and congregants, it's rather convenient for us to be able to refer people back to their own church body, and then we work with the head office at the direction of that head office.
I assume with your region being such a large geographical region, that you're traveling around this region to some degree. What are you seeing when you're traveling around? Who are you visiting with, and what are the things that you're seeing?
Last month, I was in the refugee camps in northwestern Kenya. Mm. One of my favorite places to visit. A very difficult place to visit. But we went there with a short-term team. We have a short-term team partner from the LCMS congregation in Clive, Iowa, that has been going to the same place now for years, every year, under our Congregation Connect partnership model. They go to the congregation that's in the main city closest to the refugee camps. They visit there. They make home-to-home, door-to-door visitation, inviting people to church, spreading the good news. Then they go into the camps and do the same thing. And they're paired up with elders and evangelists and pastors from the congregations in the camps. There's 5 Lutheran congregations in this refugee camp. And then we spread out and we go out and make visits in the homes and talk to people about faith, talk to people about Jesus. That is something I love to do. It's something that refills me. It's kind of the core of what we're about and what we're working on. I also make trips to a place, and I might be taken to the seminary. Often I make an arrangement for a trip because I've been asked to come, and I'm not really sure what the itinerary is. All I know is I'm going, and when I get off that plane, someone will probably be there with a sign with my name on it or will recognize me. And then we may go see congregations. We may go see seminaries. We may go to the head office of the church and hear about programs or projects that they're doing or things that they're hoping to do with us. So all kinds of things. We have foros, of course. You know, you've talked to all the regional directors, I'm sure, about the foros. And so I may be traveling somewhere for a foro, in which case I'm a little more on. I'm presenting. I'm kind of leading on behalf of the mission. So all kinds of different activities, all kinds of different trips that I make.
What does that visitation look like when you're meeting with a church body, when you're meeting with the people in a country? What does that visitation time look like for you?
It's relationship. It's mm-hmm. all about relationship. So in much of Africa, relationship takes precedence over just about anything else. Mm-hmm. And the spoken word and the continuity of relationship takes precedence and is higher value than written documentation. So we correspond all the time. My WhatsApp is constantly receiving messages from church leaders and people all over the continent. And we email back and forth, and we try to involve others in those conversations. But then when I'm there in person, or if they happen to come to Nairobi and we see each other in person, there's a lot of conversation about family, about what's going on in the country, about what the hope is for the future of the church, about what they're struggling with. And it's that time together that's the most important. I remember when I was a vicar, I vicared in Uganda, and I went to a council meeting once. It's not something that missionaries normally do, but there was only three pastors in the country counting me as the vicar. So I went to a council meeting once, and we started the meeting kind of mid-morning. And I think that meeting went 6 hours or maybe even 8 hours. And at the end, we did not have a checklist of assigned tasks or resolutions. There was really nothing that we would point to and say, here's the result of that meeting. But to everyone who was there, it was very successful because we had spent time together. Mm. And if you have a relationship, if you have that affirmation together, then all the details tend to work themselves out.
Mm. What are some of the challenges being faced in the Africa region?
I describe it as... we're full of good challenges. You know, when you're having a church or you're trying to start a church and you have to go get more chairs because more people showed up than you anticipated, yes. It's a challenge, right?
Yeah.
But it's a good challenge. Mm-hmm. And that's what we face. We have church bodies that are growing, some at 12, 15% a year.
Wow.
They have congregations that just pop up. So someone goes and visits their cousin in a nearby village and their cousin's a member of the Lutheran church. They go to church with them. They come home and say, well, there's no Lutheran church here. We'll start one. And they start it in their living room. And when it's too big for the living room, they meet under the tree. And when the rains come, they put up a tin roof. And then they reach out to the church body and they say, we need a pastor. And the church body says, okay, we didn't even know you were there. But they're just popping up. So most of your pastors in Africa are overseeing between 5 and 15 congregations. And
wow.
That is the largest request we receive from the churches that we work with. Help us form church workers.
Mm-hmm.
So half of our budget every year, half of our missionary personnel are invested in the formation of church workers to meet this good problem, the good problem of not having enough pastors to staff and to fill and to bring the gospel in the congregations that are popping up everywhere.
We're talking with the Reverend Shawin Trump, Regional Director of the Africa Region with the LCMS Office of International Mission. We have more to talk about after we take a quick break. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
At Concordia University, Nebraska, discover a distinctly Christian community that equips students to live by faith with courage, character, and conviction. Intentionally combining our Christian faith, Lutheran heritage, rigorous academics, and practical real-life experiences, we prepare students to fulfill a higher purpose in their vocations and life. Learn more about Concordia University, Nebraska at our website, cune.edu. That's cune.edu.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We are at the LCMS Synodical Convention in Phoenix, Arizona, and we're catching up with the Reverend Shawin Trump, Regional Director of the Africa Region with the LCMS Office of International Mission. And you mentioned churches popping up all over the place and needing pastors. What does theological education look like across the region? I know there's a few seminaries, I believe.
Yeah, there are a few. we work with about 15 different routes to ordination.
Okay.
Now, most of those routes to ordination are residential seminaries. And of those, most of those are seminaries just like you would recognize at Fort Wayne or St. Louis. We use the exact same model. We have 3 years of instruction. We have Greek. We have Hebrew. We work through systematics. The same kind of thing that you see in our seminaries here. And then at the conclusion or in the third year, they do a year of internship or year of vicarage. Then they're certified for ordination by the seminary. Often then the church body that has sent them, if it was a distant seminary, will have them do another period of probation or trial before they're ordained. But most of seminary education there looks just like ours.
Mm-hmm.
Almost all the seminaries operate in English. That's the language of education in most of the countries where we're working. Then we have 3 seminaries that operate in French. That's the next largest language group. So the language of education in those places, those Francophone countries, is French. We have a seminary that operates in Portuguese. We have a seminary that operates in Swahili. But generally, you would walk into a classroom and the classroom will look quite different. There may not be glass in the windows. There may not be paint on the walls. The chalkboard may be a painted on black surface. But you'll hear the same things you hear in our seminaries right here in the United States. We have missionaries teaching in four of the seminaries, one in Kenya, two in Tanzania, and one in South Africa. And that's where we have missionaries engaged as part of the faculty helping to teach. So what does it look like? It looks a lot the same as what we have here. And that's because of our conviction that this is the gold standard. This is what we're working towards. This is what we believe forms a well-formed pastor ready to serve. They may graduate with just a certificate or a diploma. They aren't operating at a bachelor's level or a master's level. But there are faithful pastors that come out of these programs, and they minister to God's people.
What does mercy work look like in Africa region today?
Yeah, the next largest request we get is for things you could classify as mercy work. There's opportunity, of course, all over for different programs. And I'm deeply convicted that the most effective mercy work is love for neighbor shown at the congregation level. So in your immediate community, showing the love and the kindness towards your neighbor with the opportunity to gather them in, to ask them to engage in your congregation, to become a part of your congregational life. But we do have some programs that are larger. We support deaconess studies at a couple of these seminaries. Those deaconesses are trained and then are going out and engaging their communities, supporting a pastor in a local congregation. We have what we would call our flagship mercy program is Christ's Care for Children. Mm-hmm. Christ's Care for Children has two locations, two countries that it works in, both Kenya and in Tanzania. And this is a program to support vulnerable children. Mm-hmm. So in Kenya, this program is wrapped around vulnerable children in the community, starting around the third or fourth grade kind of level, where they're provided a place to stay close to the Lutheran school. They're provided with food, education, educational support. And it's kind of built on a seminary model. They have morning devotions, evening devotions. And these kids then are, of course, at catechism and confirmation age. And so they're kind of coming up in that. And they're working with a local congregation. And they do different things. Some of them form a choir. They sing in the local congregation, right? Mm-hmm. Some of them volunteer to clean. So they're the cleaning staff that help keep things clean on the grounds and in the congregation before and after service. But in all cases, they're deeply involved. And the local pastor there is the pastor who's ministering to those children and supporting them. Often there's a deaconess at the same site. Mm-hmm. Then they continue on from there. They go into high school. In Kenya, there's boarding high schools, and there's a national assignment system for where you get to go to high school. Hmm. So they go to high school. They're supported in that. They still meet together regularly every year while they're in high school to maintain that connection and that ministry. They go into college if they're able to do so, or vocational college. And then they continue to also to be pulled in and have regular contact with the church. And in that time between high school and college, there's a gap in Kenya. So there's about a 9-month gap between the end of high school and the beginning of college. Historically, that's so you could send all of your exams to the capital city to be marked, uh-huh. and then send them all back. Doesn't take that much anymore, but there's this gap. So the church said, we want to reinforce what we've been working with these kids on. And so all the kids are brought in for a pre-college Luther Academy at the seminary or at the Bible school campus. And they go through doctrine, they go through simple study skills, essay writing skills, kind of life skills. But they're right there working with church workers, rubbing elbows with the church workers who are studying on that campus, the pastors and the deaconesses. And some of them end up going into that route for their studies. And it's just total care for young people as they're coming up, with the primary focus being salvation, the primary focus being on whispering into their ears and into their hearts again and again and again about God's amazing love for them.
That's really incredible.
It is.
Tell us about church planting. What does church planting look like as these churches are coming up, as people are interested in what that looks like? What does church planting look like across the region?
Yeah, so we do have some places where we're supporting kind of direct church planting. We have a couple of those kind of very special mission areas where it would look similar to what you might have seen before, as far as, oh, there's a missionary supporting the planting of a church, or the mission planting a church. But most of our church planting efforts are kind of focused on providing pastors for congregations, because our theology is that if you're asking where the church is where the gospel is rightly preached and the sacraments are rightly administered, right? So it takes a gathering around God's word and around the sacraments to say that's a church. That's a full-fledged church in all of its beauty and glory, where people are being regularly fed, regularly provided for. So our endeavors are to provide education, to provide formation for these pastors, because all of them are, in effect, church planters. They're all going back to serve a place where there's a start, there's a beginning and upswelling of the Spirit. Without a pastor, they're going there to minister to them. So that's kind of the role we see that we play in the church planting endeavors.
What is the place of short-term teams serving in Africa region?
Yeah, I mentioned earlier this team that comes back to these refugee camps. We have a number of teams like that under our Congregation Connect model. They come back to the same place every year, often with a few returning members of the congregation, sometimes with new members of the congregation. And when they do that, they form relationships with the same people. They have a similar experience in the church back in the States. Then there's kind of a swelling of who has had this experience, this shared experience. And it brings a newfound kind of emphasis on outreach, on looking outwards for them. So we have congregations that work in the Congregation Connect model. We also have short-term teams that come and do the things you hear about on other regions too. So Vacation Bible School camp in South Africa happened, I think, just last week. We have groups that are coming and supporting kind of short-term emphases at seminaries. So we have someone who might come and teach, like a volunteer individual. We also have learning opportunities. We just had earlier this year kind of a learning opportunity for people who are just interested. They don't really know what there might be to do or what their involvement might be, but they're interested. And so they come and they learn. They visit places, they visit with missionaries, they see what the Lord is doing in these places and have the opportunity to find a better way or a more informed way to pray and to support those endeavors.
Tell us about the team you get to serve with. Africa region is large. There's a lot happening across the region. And tell us about some of the people that make up the team that you get to serve with in the Africa region.
Yeah, it is a large area. And our team in the last couple of years has been about the smallest that it's been since we started sending missionaries to Africa. We had, through natural kind of attrition, you know, people retiring for family reasons or uncontrollable reasons, we were shrinking and shrinking, and we didn't have new recruits coming on fast enough to refill those gaps. So we were small, right? Fortunately, now International Mission has a fully staffed recruiting office under Reverend Dr. Mark Raby, and they are finding people who are open to serving in Africa again. So we're starting to swell our numbers again, which is a real blessing. Right now, we only have missionaries in Kenya, Tanzania, and South Africa. And that's the smallest footprint we've had on the continent in decades and decades and decades. So some of our new recruits that are coming in are helping to strengthen teams that exist in places to make sure they're not at risk. And so that if someone does retire, we kind of have institutional knowledge and memory that can carry on. And then we're starting to rebranch into West Africa. That's a strong focus for us, both in the English-speaking and the French-speaking endeavors there. On our team, we have a few people who work in administration, kind of like me, who support, and a lot of our work is focused on all the places where we don't have a missionary, right? We're the face of the Synod's international mission work for all those other countries and all those other church bodies. And then we have missionaries who are teaching, theological educators teaching in seminaries, and we have missionaries kind of focused on mercy work. We have some missionaries focused on the Project 24, the Christ Care for Children program. We have a communication specialist just arrived on the field. And then we have alliance missionaries. So our alliance missionaries are pastors from a fellowship church body that are available, that the church is sending into our team to work as a part of LCMS International Missions team in a place under our strategies and our focus and our goals, doing the same work as our missionaries right alongside them, but they come from a different place. We have three alliance missionaries from Brazil teaching at seminaries, and we just 2 weeks ago received our first alliance missionary from the Evangelical Mission Diocese in Finland, who's now teaching at the seminary in Kenya after he comes up to speed a little bit. So four members of our team come from other places, not from the LCMS, but it brings a richness and a joy. And so sometimes it works out extremely well. So my area facilitator for Southern Africa, which is where we have our two Portuguese-speaking countries, the Lusophone countries, he's from Brazil. He speaks Portuguese.
Beautiful.
It's so easy for him to operate there.
Yeah.
I've been to those places as well. You run through two translations to communicate. So, right, I speak English. Someone translates it into Portuguese. Someone then translates the Portuguese into Sena, the local language in that corner of Mozambique. It takes a lot of conversation to have things understood in that situation. So he can skip at least one of those steps when he makes those visits.
Yeah. Wow.
What are the needs in Africa region?
Well, we need missionaries. That is a desperate need. And there's requests. The vast majority of our requests come from the churches that we're working with, and they're the ones asking us for missionaries, for educators, for nurses, for theological educators, for IT specialists, for like a whole lot of different variety that is being requested, church administrators, school administrators. And so we've got just like dozens and dozens of requests that we're handling and trying to prioritize. So if you're looking for something to pray for, or if you're looking for something to contribute in a way, consider missionary service. That's a great need. Certainly we have a great need for prayer. The good problems that we have in the continent are also accompanied by difficult challenges. And the prayer that is provided really does keep people on the field and keeps the mission going. We're looking for short-term teams. We're looking for volunteers. Our missionary in Ethiopia just retired just a couple months ago. We'd had a missionary presence there for 10 years, and we'd been working with the church in Ethiopia for 25 years or so. And so it's the closing of a chapter, but we're looking to still support some of that work with volunteers who can come. So right now, shortly, we have a volunteer who's able to come and volunteer there and teach for a whole semester. So we have an apartment on the campus, and they can continue to support that work that we're engaged with. And funding, the gifts that come in support of Christ Care for Children have allowed us to expand that program over the years to this point, and those sponsorships of those children will continue. All of those seminaries that we are working with are limited only by finances. They have more applicants. They have more students ready to study. They don't have the resources to bring additional students in. So the gifts of the Synod, the gifts specifically for these programs or to International Mission, support all of this work.
How can we pray for the work in the Africa region, for your work, for your travel? How can we pray for all of that?
Yeah, pray for good health. That's a common issue for all of us. Pray for wisdom and discernment for the church leaders. It's a great joy to see some of my church leaders here at the convention. And I'm constantly reminded of how much is on their plate and how gracious I am when they're able to take some time and work with me on something. Pray for the church. With the size of the church bodies we have in Africa, this is the face of Lutheranism in the modern day. There are more Lutherans in worship on a Sunday in Africa than in the rest of the world combined. So this is what it looks like to be Lutheran today. Pray for them, because they're concerned for us, and they're concerned for the rest of the world too, and ready to go if we find a way. Pray for our missionary families. Pray for all of us.
The Reverend Shawin Trump, Regional Director for Africa for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Office of International Mission. Pastor Trump, thanks so much for being our guest.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
You can learn more about serving by visiting servenow.lcms.org. You can learn more about opportunities to serve both short-term and long-term there as well. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour is a production of KFUO. This program and our station are dependent on listeners just like you. To support KFUO Radio, our podcast, and all the other programming, please make your gift or pledge today at kfuo.org/give and help us continue sharing the good news of Christ for you anytime, anywhere. kfuo.org/give.